I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, September 17th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. There are those of us who believe it is first and foremost a spiritual battle. It is manifested in this physical realm. Speaking of realms, again, Daniel chapter 4 is interesting, especially for the Kissingers of the world. It's not really the philosopher kings. Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the whole earth, every people, tribe, and tongue, and nation, as the Bible would put it, at the time, and he was humbled. And I've mentioned that recently. And so, you know, he had a come-to-Jesus moment, a Damascus Road moment, and so things like that are interesting, especially as we see the encroachment of darkness and evil all around us. People say, you know, I mean, there's this effort to promote kindness and tolerance and those kinds of things, but really it's not tolerance. It is cultural Marxist Frankfurt School extraordinaire Herbert Marcuse's repressive tolerance. That's what it is. So we vehemently oppose and suppress whatever is not in keeping with, you know, whatever the establishment narrative of the time is, and essentially gaslight it out of existence, or try to. And you know, it becomes increasingly difficult to stand in opposition to those efforts, especially as they become more militant and violent in certain ways, whether it's physical violence or not. They become more violent and abusive. It becomes more difficult to stand apart from those things. And so I've read recently from books historically that explain how these things happen. And again, I haven't really dug into it yet. I intend to. But, you know, voices that we've been listening to, the things that young people have been studying in university for decades now in America, it's the same stuff, Hayek tells us, led to the frustrations and collapse of the Weimar Republic and then what came after that. So dare we say history is repeating. So I want to play something. Rhonda sent me this and said that Jeremy from Kentucky shared this a couple of days ago. I'll play this. But for the moment, let's start with, I mentioned there were a couple of things from Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest that I wanted to read. I read from September 11, the September 11 entry, which is interesting. You know, we have to go the second mile, the conclusion of it on the 11th. We have to go the second mile with God. Some of us get played out in the first 10 yards because God compels us to go where we cannot see the way. And we say, I will wait till I get nearer the big crisis. If we do not do the running steadily in the little ways, we shall do nothing in the crisis. So that's an interesting entry for September 11. And to sort of go with it, a companion, I would say, and this is a series that he wrote, you know, it's titled Missionary Munitions, which again, I think is not by accident or coincidence that this coincides with September 11th. So September 10th, part of the Missionary Munitions series of ruminations. And so it reads, worshiping as occasion serves. We imagine we would be all right if a big crisis arose. And this, again, sort of correlates to the history of tyrannical, authoritarian, oppressive regimes overtly. We live in one now in America, but we're not honest about it. The press obviously is largely complicit in gaslighting people so that, you know, Aldous Huxley's words have come to fruition. People love their servitude and are enduring and some actually enjoy a condition which by most decent standards should be intolerable, unbearable, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of the backdrop. Worshiping as occasion serves, we imagine we would be all right if a big crisis arose, but the big crisis will only reveal the stuff we are made of. It will not put anything into us. If God gives the call, of course I will rise to the occasion. You will not, unless you have risen to the occasion in the workshop, unless you have been the real thing before God there. Unless you've been the real thing before God there. If you are not doing the thing that lies nearest, because God has engineered it, when the crisis comes, instead of being revealed as fit, you will be revealed as unfit. Crises always reveal character. And so there is, you know, as Jordan Peterson said in that excerpt with his interview, excerpt of his interview with Jocko Willink, you don't know how you're going to behave. Well, you know, every time he or anyone says that, I always want to say there are clues of how we will behave. And Oswald Chambers gives us some provocative insight as to how we will behave in these difficult moments. Crises always reveal character. The private relationship of worshiping God is the greatest essential of fitness. The time comes, you know, I mentioned the biblical example of Peter, for instance. Private relationship of worshiping God in the great essential of fitness. The time comes when there is no more fig tree life possible. When it is out into the open, out into the glare and into the work, and you will find yourself of no value there. if you have not been worshiping as occasion serves you in your home. Worship aright in your private relationships. Then when God sets you free, you will be ready. Because in the unseen life, which no one saw but God, you have become perfectly fit. And when the strain comes, you can be relied upon by God. I can't be expected to live the sanctified life in the circumstances I am in. I have no time for praying just now, no time for Bible reading. My opportunity hasn't come yet. When it does, of course I shall be all right. No, you will not. If you have not been worshiping as occasion serves, when you get into work, you will not only be useless yourself, but a tremendous hindrance to those who are associated with you. The workshop of missionary munitions is the hidden personal worshiping life of the saint. That's interesting stuff. And much more could be said, I suppose, about that. But perhaps we'll leave it there. Not only will you be useless yourself, but a tremendous hindrance to those who are associated with you. Pretty incredible stuff. I don't think most of us are willing to be that honest. And reflective. I think we're a little bit past, but maybe we'll start the video here in a second. And so well, actually, maybe we'll save it for the bottom of the hour. We'll do that. And by the way, phone lines are open. It's Friday, so we can wax soft about whatever. But so local call on 512-248-8252. Toll free if you don't have free long distance, but it's not free. It cost the network 800-313-9443. So one more time, 512-248-8252. And if you don't have free long distance, 800-313-9443. So this is interesting stuff. And there are a couple of what I would call accompanying passages. You know, the 13th through the 15th, for example. I think of, you know, we played the clip of Reagan's Time for Choosing speech. And there's that point where he talks about surrender. And we played that recently when we played the most recent clips. And so he says, there is no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second, surrender. So Oswald Chambers writes about a different sort of surrender. That obviously is that concept, you know, the bad guys say peace, but they mean the absence of resistance or opposition. In contrast to that, September 13th, my utmost for his highest, Oswald Chambers writes, surrender is not the surrender of the external life, but of the will. And he writes, when that is done, all is done. And speaking of this concept of crises, there are very few crises in life. The great crisis is the surrender of the will. God never crushes a man's will into surrender. He never beseeches him. He waits until the man yields up his will to him, capital H. That battle never needs to be refought. That's an interesting thought. Surrender for deliverance. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. It is after we have begun to experience what salvation means that we surrender our wills to Jesus for rest. Whatever is perplexing heart or mind is a call to the will. Come unto me. It is a voluntary coming. Surrender for devotion. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And this is something, an idea that I've been a little preoccupied with lately. Let him deny himself. What does that mean, especially in a generation or an age where we are encouraged to be completely self-absorbed? Even the Ingrezza commercial tells us that, you know, we should be self-absorbed. You know, we played the commercial yesterday, shift the focus more on you. What does that even mean? I went through the astonishing oxymoronic nature of pretty much every aspect of the Ingrezza commercial yesterday. It still astounds me. So, real quick, this idea that, you know, like Jesus said, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The surrender here is of myself to Jesus, myself with his rest at the heart of it. And, you know, so again, this gets to the issue of we're either slaves to sin or slaves to Christ, and the devil would have us believe otherwise and have this influence, this pervasive influence that is ungodly, essentially, and have it be come to fruition in a very plausibly deniable sort of fashion. No, I was doing it myself, and then, you know, I can see the devil arguing in the court of heaven, so to speak, saying, hey, I didn't do anything. I just made a suggestion. I didn't even really make a suggestion. I just kind of said, you know, I said some rhetorical thing, and I've talked about that before, suggestibilist fashion, you know, an ambiguous statement with a question mark at the end of it, which is a suggestion. And do we not live in the Bernaysian era of influence and persuasion? So, just to conclude, whatever is perplexing heart or mind is a call to the will. Come unto me, it is a voluntary coming. Surrender for devotion. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The surrender here is of myself to Jesus, myself with his rest at the heart of it. If you would be my disciple, give up your right to yourself to me. Then the remainder of the life is nothing but the manifestation of this surrender. When once the surrender has taken place, we never need suppose, quote unquote, anything. We do not need to care what our circumstances are. Jesus is amply sufficient. That sounds almost terrifying. The uncertainty of it, imagine. But really, it's not. It's the opposite. It's just our perspective. Surrender for death. John 21, 18 and 19. Another shall gird thee. Have you learned what it means to be bound for death? That's an interesting concept, perhaps for another discussion. Beware of a surrender which you make to God in an ecstasy. Just ask Isaiah, right? It's chapter 6, I think. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And what does God say? Go tell everyone they're stupid if they had eyes to see and ears to hear. And Isaiah is from an affluent family, and he laments, how long, O Lord? You're apt to take it back again if you do that. It is a question of being united with Jesus in his death until nothing ever appeals to you that did not appeal to him. After surrender, what? The whole of the life after surrender is an inspiration, an aspiration for unbroken communion with God. Wow. That's quite a thought. Stick around. We'll be right back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Back to the phones we go. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Good morning.
I was listening to you while you were talking, and I hope I can say this in a way that'll be beneficial to people, but something came to mind. You know, the first time I really got on a horse, this kid from Detroit, and I hope this makes sense. I was in Colorado, and the wrangler says, "Are you a novice? Do you have experience? Are you a professional?" Well, I didn't want to be a novice, so I said, "Well, I have some experience, and I got a really good horse." Unfortunately, the horse was much better than I was, and I remember the ride I went for, Chris, when he buried his head, And he had me taking me anywhere he wanted, and all I could do was hold on. Mm-hmm. It's not a good feeling.
No.
I think a lot of times we're afraid to admit to ourselves and others that we don't know what we think we know, and we wind up going on a ride through our life that we really don't want to take. Kind of fast forward 40 years later, my daughter had a horse given to her. My brother-in-law's horse had a baby and 5 years old and had not been touched by human hands. Well, having taken a ride in 1976 that I didn't want to take, I decided I might need to get some education. So I got the book by John Rary, Horse Whispering, and actually taught myself to gain the horse's confidence. And I can only say this, the relationship between the horse and myself after we had each other's confidence was entirely different than the ride I went on in 1976. Mm-hmm. It sounds silly, but it was a beautiful thing because mm-hmm. the horse knew I would never do anything to harm it, mm-hmm. and it would never do anything to harm me.
Horse and rider
are
one.
That's right. We actually have to, and it's not a wild horse, but give God the reins. Quit trying to do it yourself. Drop the reins. He's not going to hurt you. And if you'll get the point where you'll let him do in your life what he has planned for you, we say we believe the book. We all know the verse, you know, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. He's a light under our path and a lamp to our feet. And we can all say that. But man, when you give it to him, then the words of Jim Elliot come to mind. He is no fool that gives what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. The short time that we have on earth that we want to prolong for as long as we can, 100 years if we're lucky, 110 if we're very lucky, that's just the beginning, folks. So give it up now. I'm not saying die, but give it up now. Give God the reins and gain what you can't lose. Why is anybody waiting? I don't get it. Even Christians are holding back. They're not letting loose. He's not going to hurt you. According to Psalm 91 and Isaiah 57:14, there's certain things that cannot happen if you're in his will. Yet we say we believe him. He's God. He can't lie, but we won't take him at his word. I don't understand that, Chris. It took me a while to learn it. Once you give it over, you talk about freedom. Fear's gone. You are literally free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
You got to experience that to understand it. And any I'll listen. I'm on the phone. I'll listen to any response you have. And I would plead with people. Call and talk about it, man. Time's short.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you, John.
All right. Take care.
Much appreciated. You know, what more can you say? I mean, that is it. And the illustration of horse and rider is a great one. And it's interesting. I mean, it correlates in so many ways to the message, the biblical message that sort of centers around what John was talking about. Discipline, for example. I mean, I've talked about that, you know. Hebrews 12, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so you think about horse and trainer, for example. And when that actually does happen and horse and rider are one, it is a beautiful thing. It really is. And I think it brings as much joy and pleasure, so to speak, to the horse as it does the rider. You can feel it. It's like a spiritual thing. If I can say that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's broadcast. What John described is something, I think the concept is something that we were raised on. I think it was woven into the tapestry of our DNA, so to speak, for a while here in the Great American Experiment. And then gradually, by degrees, it has sort of been bred out of us to the point that it is a sort of a forgotten concept, and almost anathema to the American experience in the name of convenience. Convenience is our greatest enemy in the, you know, Bernaysian, Freudian, will to pleasure era. Everything is about convenience, and it creates a mindset of entitlement that is not reality. And as I've said, when I think about this, you know, go out and spend some time in nature and you will see nature doesn't care about who is that comedian that did that bit. Maybe we should play that actually also. The guy who talks about, you know, the West, Westerners are so entitled, and, you know, jokes for woke and offended people. Verdas, that's who it is. Probably play that. He does a good job of, you know what? Maybe we will do that real quick, and then we'll go back to the phones. Just maybe like 2 minutes of this, because it's perfect. Yeah. No, I didn't send it. Sorry. Multitasking is bad for radio. I apologize. I'm finding it. So we'll do this real fast, then we'll go to the phones. I'm just trying to get it to the right spot. We don't want to play the whole thing. It's a 4 minute clip or something like that, but we want to play just a couple minutes. We should probably play the rest, but so it's Verdas. It's his YouTube channel. I did some stand up in Canada last year. It got kind of uncomfortable, almost lost the crowd. Therefore, it was super fun. Comedians, you know, that's kind of their drug sometimes. So jokes for woke and offended people. And he talks about how Westerners will, you know, the entitlement mindset has people thinking that they can get offended for others and stuff like that's some kind of, you know, speaking of all the politically correct virtue signaling nonsense. Anyway, a couple minutes of this. Let's see. Whoops. Yeah, I did that wrong. Sorry. Yeah, it's my fault. So, all right. So, you know, and this is not a good thing, by the way, what he's talking about. And it's not some kind of, what do you say? It's not a thing happening in a vacuum. It's not something without consequences. I submit it's the Romans chapter 1 continuum. And that's bad. That's not good. So anyway, a couple minutes of this, and this is sort of the antithesis of what John was talking about. Go ahead, please.
I mean, Montreal might be the most comfortable immigration experience I've ever had. There was no paperwork, no questions. The guy just gave me a kiss on my cheek. He was like, that's it. He was just like, welcome home. I was like, but I'm just visiting. He's like, that is what they all say. I apologize. Is that accent offensive? The thing is, I don't know. I live in India. We don't know. Getting offended is something privileged people do. And we just got privileged last week. It's very exciting. Now, in the West, you've had privilege for years. You've taken offense to another level. Like, Americans can get offended on other people's behalf. It's a very American thing. I'm offended for you. What you went through is so stressful. I'm going to take the day off. But you're very proactive. You're all about justice. You see something wrong on the streets, you take your phone out and you film it. What you're doing, sir, is wrong. You're going to go viral. There are going to be consequences. Every time an American films a hate crime, in the background you can see an Indian just walking to work. I didn't see anything. I don't have my green card yet. But in the West, you're very, what's the word? Woke. That's a word I learned, woke. That's the reason I travel, to learn new words. It's not to expand my audience. I'm Indian. My audience is expanding as we speak right now. I asked a college kid, I'm like, what does it mean to be woke? She was like, to be woke means to realize, to recognize, to organize, and then to vocalize. That describes everything from a book club to a Nazi rally, all right? I want to be one of these comedians who can write woke jokes for woke people. I've tried. Do you want to hear them, yeah? Knock, knock. Well, if you need to hear the sound of somebody's voice before you let them into your apartment, what does that say about your elitist privilege, huh?
All right, it's genius, but, you know, it's that old Latin maxim, castigat redendo mores. Humor corrects morals, hopefully. And, you know, this is the opposite, the antithesis of what John described. And would that we would gravitate more in the other direction, but it really, it would come at a price that people are not willing to pay. You know, again, that whole concept of surrender and, you know, surrender of the will that Chambers writes about, and to trust in the creator of heaven and earth for everything. That would be that. That's a different concept. But I think that that's kind of where we came from in the Great American Experiment, at least in some sense. Yes, there were probably, well, not probably, the wolf was masquerading among the flock. However, I still do think there was a legitimate, authentic element of this that comprised the Great American Experiment. So I think it's in our roots. I think it's in our DNA. I think we could return, but it's a thing that people don't understand, and it has to do with getting back to reality and nature. I've heard from friends, you know, how transformative it is to have a garden, for example. And yes, weather is manipulated in things. It only costs $10 billion, you know, to terraform the whole earth, John Brennan says. It's really cheap. It's really, you know, Walmart discount pricing. We're rolling back pricing on terraforming the earth. But that doesn't mean that that's beyond the purview of the creator. So anyway, that's a different discussion. To the phones, Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hey, Rhonda.
I thought John was going to reference, I was waiting for him to reference, and I didn't know where it was. I had to look it up, as usual. But Jeremiah 29:11.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
That
Not
one.
To harm you, but to give you a future and a hope.
Right. I was waiting. That was a great story, the horse story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So I had an interesting conversation with my brother yesterday. He was inviting me somewhere, but we were talking about his son, mm-hmm. who took the shot. And then we got on the subject of every answer. Because every answer, Rhonda, is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything that's
Amen.
Going on. Because I
Amen.
Said something. Yeah. I said something to him about what's going on. And he's changed since he had cancer. But way more, I should say, wise in a way, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we had a conversation and I asked him, I said, did you tell your son not to get that booster? No, he said, no. I said, why not? And he said, well, we all have free will. And I was like, yeah, but here's the problem, is that free will with the, you know, truth. I mean, you know, here they are lying to people about not even putting ingredients in there. And, you know, not informing people's, they're not telling them what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just going along blindly. So I'm like, well, okay, he's got a decision to make, but that's his free will. But my point was that I just want him to be informed as to what he's putting in his body. And I said, you know, I said, I don't know. I didn't stand there in the lab and watch him. I do that all the time. I'm like, so it said that they use aborted baby fetal tissue or something. And I said, there's your religious exemption right there. Mm-hmm. You know? But, yeah. So, then we talked about right to work. And you know what's funny is I was trying to wrap my mind around that for forever. It's kind of like a double negative. Don't go there.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Exactly.
I can't do
well
it.
Said.
I can't. When you go to vote, too, and you're voting on issues, you're like, wait a second. What are they trying to say here? And sometimes I have to ask. I'm like, does that mean they want me to vote? I mean, what are they saying? You know, if I vote yes, am I voting for this or am I voting against it? Because I don't really want to vote for it, but it's too many double negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
well
yeah,
said.
Very confusing. And he goes, yeah, we have a right to work state. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Now I know. But, you know, basically you can work somewhere. And if they don't like your hair that day or they just don't want you there, they could just say, you know what, you're done. And that's the right to work, right?
Well, in one sense, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't have any recourse. So, because we were talking about this vaccine mandate,
which sounds
right?
like the opposite of the right to work. And that's kind of the idea. It's that duality, neologism.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah, and I was like, really? They can, like, just do that? That's not right. And he goes, well, we don't want them to say that, we don't want them to dictate the terms of the conditions on the companies because then they can start, determining the our decisions, you know, our free will. So I was like, well, that's a good point. You know, you can't have it both ways. You don't want it. You know what I mean? Even though You hone in on something, you're like, that's not right.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just don't work there, I guess. You know, if you know that it's a bad company to work for, you just don't work there.
Yeah.
But he's like, you can't, you know, you don't want to say that they can't decide who works there and who doesn't, and no good reason, because then they'll start, you know, government will start telling us, you know, what, give us the what for, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of that, one of the things that was sort of rattling around in my brain, I don't know, the last couple of days or whatever, especially with all of this stuff, and, you know, sort of the confluence of, it's not really confluence, they're inseparable, which is why I read from Eric Metaxas, Bonhoeffer, and the excerpt where he talks about, you know, Bonhoeffer writing in Ethics about how there is no separation, there is no secular, and, you know, it's all one life, and it is, you know, it's viewed through the person of Jesus Christ, or there's nothing. And the Bible echoes that in different places. Anyway, there is a master, and I've been trying to, you know, really shine a bright light on this concept in a variety of different ways or from a variety of different angles, whether it's, you know, you're a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, or however you want to look at it, or, you know, things like Charles Baudelaire's words, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you he didn't exist. You know, when you start digging into all of this stuff, it comes from somewhere, and you can see there is a, you know, basically it is, I don't know, call it a separation. There are two sides. You know, on the one hand, you have the biblical stuff, and then you have all this other stuff that's counterfeiting that. Like, speaking of right to work, which is essentially a humanist counterfeit of, let's just call it a biblical sort of concept that comes from, the counterfeit comes from, well, it is, as they say, enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, adopted by the UN General Assembly, and that sort of creeps in a direction. And so my mind has been thinking, like, how to incorporate, for example, G. Edward Griffin's Fearful Master, and this counterfeiting of basically all things biblical under some specious guise that this is, no, this is progress. No, no, this is regress. We're going back to slavery, and we're picking up speed doing it. So anyway, we're headed into a break.
Right.
Hang around if you want, Rhonda. We'll talk about this some more. But
oh, okay.
Whatever you want. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
My friend, yes, feels their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. Just keep till you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. I had to grab a book or two or three. So, you know, I've tried to go through Hayek's Road to Serfdom about this idea of planning. And it's interesting, you know, that all of this comes under these variations of specious guises and lies, essentially, is what they amount to. And, you know, you if you're paying attention, you finally realize that the message is, you know what? We would have peace if you would just stop resisting. Just quit resisting and we'll have peace. And that's not peace. That's tyranny and oppression and all kinds of awful things. So, you know, it's the same message, whether it's Hayek's Road to Serfdom or this book, The Fearful Master, A Second Look at the United Nations. There's a guy on the back cover, very young guy. No facial hair. I wonder if that guy's related to G. Edward Griffin. Just kidding. So The Fearful Master, 1964. And what do you know? Part two is The Master Planners. Just like Hayek's talking about, you know, it's always the planning. There is a master plan. There is a central plan. Plans don't happen by accident. So central planning, where does it come from? And I think together with The Fearful Master and maybe Hayek's Road to Serfdom, you know, to really shine a bright light on the central plan, planning, planner, Gary Kaas, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, and his The New World Religion. I think if you put all of that together, that's it. And so it is a counterfeiting of, you know, God's... I don't know, ordination for man and creation and so forth. And there's this character that says in the Bible, in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, that he can do better. I will rise above the heights of heaven. I will become like the Most High. Anything you can do, I can do better. And I think we're seeing that. And I think that's what all of the central planning is all about, even though we're, you know, gaslighted when you tell the truth about that.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, sure.
Now you got your break again, so...
I didn't mean to do that, but...
No, that's okay.
I think...
I'll hold on for one more thing, though.
Okay. Definitely. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break. Second hour coming up. Be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.